healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is all of us really want to reach levels of optimum health, optimum wellness. You want to feel good, live longer, enjoy life more. And that's what we're looking to do and bring to you with Healthy Alternatives, options that you have, real alternatives. Now, I like to begin the show every week by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And then a little later in the show, I will also normally talk about a healthy breakthrough. And what I want to do in this section is talk about the issue area, but then I'm going to talk about the same thing, flipping it around so it also becomes a breakthrough. What I want to talk about as the issue area are chemicals. Now, we are actually all chemicals. We have trillions of chemical reactions going on in our body at any given moment, and chemicals are all around us, from the glass that you pick up, the pen that you pick up, the iPhone that you might be using. And about 97% of the goods that are bought and sold in this country incorporate manufactured chemicals of one kind or another. What this means, there are now 82,000 synthetic chemicals that are out there. The problem is, and this is why it's a concern, is that nobody really knows which ones are making our lives better and which ones are more harmful to us. In 1976, there was a law passed by Congress called the Toxic Substance Control Act. This act was supposed to regulate chemicals, except it was written with so many loopholes in it, you can drive a semi-truck through these things and not touch them at all. Because what this law set up is, first of all, there were 60,000 chemicals that were already in existence, and they got grandfathered in. No testing is necessary at all to prove whether or not they're safe. Second is, all the other chemicals, the burden of proving that a substance is toxic doesn't fall to the manufacturer, it falls to the government. The company has no obligation to prove a chemical that it has synthesized is safe, and it gives the Environmental Protection Agency just 90 days to figure out if the product should be introduced in the marketplace. And if the agency doesn't raise any safety concerns with this period, then the manufacturer can go into full-scale production. Now, the company does have to submit any safety data available, but it's okay if no data exists. Well, guess what? 85% of all the new chemical notices that was submitted to the EPA didn't have a single piece of safety data attached to it. So what we've got here are these chemicals out there. Some of them are really nasty. As a matter of fact, only 5 chemicals have been taken off the market since 1976 because the law is placing an enormous burden on the government. That to prove, not only, by the way, that the chemical is causing irrefutable harm, but they also have to prove that any regulation imposed will not increase the cost for doing business as usual. That's a burden that's absurd. So that's our problem out there. We've got chemicals to the left of us, to the right of us, to in front of us, to the back of us, and inside of us. As a matter of fact, the Center for Disease Control actually has found that we have over 200 chemicals inside of us. Other researchers have found over 400 chemicals inside of us, and nobody knows what the heck this is all doing. We're kind of creating our own sewage system inside of our own bodies, that we can't get rid of this stuff. It's just going to create difficulties for us. You got to know about this. There's not a lot you can do with the Government Act, but there are other options I'm going to make you aware of and breakthroughs that are happening when I get to that section. Today I'm going to be talking to a gentleman who's a clinical neurophysiologist. He helps people suffering from chronic pain, soft tissue, musculoskeletal injuries to experience pain relief and accelerated healing of that injury by using therapeutic, and catch this term, microcurrent bioelectric signaling devices. These are devices that send a signal to the pain area, and lo and behold, the pain goes away. This gentleman has a PhD in neurophysiology from University of Brussels, two postdoc degrees. He's got a master's in science. This is going to be a fascinating show. You're not going to want to miss this one. If you want to know more about me, you can click on the globe on this page or go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also put out a monthly e-newsletter, and if you go to teplitz.com, you'll see the home button, you'll get a drop-down menu, and you'll see where you can click on for the free e-newsletter. So here's where I want to talk about the healthy breakthrough and how it relates to what I was talking about with all the chemicals that are coming at us. The healthy breakthrough is University of Berkeley has set up a Center for Green Chemistry. See, chemists, when they get educated, have never been educated on toxicity, the impact on people, on the environment, nothing. Well, Berkeley is looking to educate the next generation of chemists to share the best available science on chemistry, toxicology, sharing it with people or policymakers, the public, to do interdisciplinary research on the intersection of health, chemistry, policy, and business. And so they're really setting this up and combining even engineering into this, chemistry, natural resources, public health, and also the School of Business. Now, why is this important to be doing? Just let me give you one example. Auto mechanics in San Francisco. What they were discovering is healthy young men found themselves suffering from severe peripheral nerve damage to the point where some of them ended up in wheelchairs. The only common link that they could figure out is they were in auto repair shops. Turns out the culprit was a commonly used brake cleaning solvent that combined acetone and hexane, which reacts inside the human body to form different molecules that wound up destroying nerve fibers. Now, even though the garages they worked in were well ventilated, it turns out the properties in this toxic vapor caused them to stay under the car, so the mechanics who were working under the car on the brakes was getting significant exposures to this. So this is actually a substance that was used to replace another substance that was even more carcinogenic, but nobody looked at saying what's going to happen with this, because the chemists were not trained on what's this going to do to people. So now at Berkeley, they're asking questions such as, how do we know what hazards these chemicals are going to pose? They're identifying toxicity tests that can be used to determine whether a given chemical will alter a biological pathway in the body, and so look at the risk that we're suffering, potentially. Now, going further with the healthy breakthrough is, even though, again, the law hasn't changed, major companies are very quickly moving into applying the principles of green chemistry in their own research and development initiatives. You've got companies like Pfizer, DuPont, Dow. You've got Clorox, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, all starting to look at this because it actually makes good bottom line sense to do this. It lets them avoid the risks of getting sued down the road, and it lets them bring out something that has more appeal to the consumer, because the other part that's coming into play is consumer pressure is mounting. People are demanding information, and companies are starting to respond. As an example, Staples has asked all of their suppliers to tell them what's in the products that they have. Johnson & Johnson, Clorox, Procter & Gamble are, through the American Cleaning Institute, which is a trade association, is actually posting on all their ingredients that they're putting in their products on their company websites. Now, if you want to know which are the good products, which are the not good products, you can find that out now, because there is a website called consumerguide.com, consumerguide.com, which rates products based on their health, environmental, and social responsibility areas. They actually have the publicly available toxicological data on many thousands of chemicals. And so this means you can go on and see everything that you're using. Is this the best product to get, or is there a better one that in effect has a healthy option for you? So you now have options that you can start looking at, even though the government is way behind in this. There are changes that are going on that are creating a healthy breakthrough for all of us. So before I bring on my guest, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Dr. Peter Lathrop. He is a clinical neurophysiologist. He helps people suffering from pain, soft tissue, musculoskeletal injuries to gain sustained pain relief and really accelerate the healing of their injuries. He actually received his PhD in neurophysiology from University of Brussels and two postdocs in biochemistry and virology from the University of Munich. He also got a master's of science degree in psychology from San Diego State University. Dr. Lathrop has spent over 12 years in clinical practice in San Diego, and he specializes in the use of therapeutic microcurrent bioelectric, which we're going to define in a little bit, signaling devices. And he's developed patents for these types of things, which really work to heal injuries and viruses and even neurological disorders. And he's currently the CEO and founder of VitaFlow, which is a biochemical research and product development company focusing on this notion of pain and rejuvenation and regeneration of soft tissue. So, Dr. Lathrop, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to our conversation.
Well, we're going to start the conversation right now. What is microcurrent bioelectric medicine? What does that mean?
Microcurrent electrical therapy, as part of electromedicine, is the input of electronics, an electrical signal, into the human body to reprogram cells and nerves to function in a healthy manner. It is used instead of drugs and as a programming tool to cause the cells and the nerves and the tissue to function normally. It returns the state of disease or injury to a normal state. And this is done because the body is an electrochemical system and can be programmed as such.
So you're really relying on the electric part of how it operates. And I know I've seen research out there where when people have broken bones, they can put a slight electrical charge into the body, into the bone, and it actually helps it heal faster. Is that the kind of things you're talking about, Dr. Lathrop?
Well, that's one example. One of my professors in medical school at UCLA, Dr. Robert O. Becker, an orthopedic surgeon, he is one of the co-developers of this process of putting an electric signal into the bone to speed the healing process. And frankly, it hasn't gone very far and seems to be in kind of the current day a lot more trouble than it's worth for a reduction of a week or so of healing. But that is one use of it, and it has not been really adequately developed yet. But soft tissue, nerves, muscles, tendons, ligaments, that is a given, and it's here today, and we're doing it on a regular basis very successfully.
So you're talking about a lot faster type of healing and pain relief than the notion of just getting a week faster healing with the bones. Am I correct on that then?
Yes, we can treat a pain condition, and we can immediately stop the pain within about 15 minutes of the treatment. And in terms of healing or injury repair, we can, depending on the age of the injury, how long ago it happened, we can repair the injury either overnight or within a couple of weeks. In a chronic case, and that is 6 months or older injury, generally it takes, in my practice, approximately 3 weeks to repair fully.
And when you say 3 weeks, is that a treatment a day for 3 weeks, or how much time does it actually take with that longer-term injury?
Well, the regular procedure is about 15 minutes per treatment, 3 to 4 times a week for about 3 weeks.
And that's all.
A long term for me in my practice is a month long of therapy. That's about as long as I see anybody.
So tell us how you got into this notion of electromedicine in the first place.
It started out when I was in an undergraduate at University of California at Berkeley. I was pre-med and I was studying life sciences. And as a child, I took with me a great knowledge of electronics because as a child, I built circuits and radios and all kinds of robots and appliances and whatnot just for a hobby. So I took that with me. I went into college. I was pre-med, studied life science. How does the system work? I discovered very quickly that the system is nerves or wires that transmit an electrical signal. How are they working? They're working off of cells, which transmit electrical signals to them through axonal connections and whatnot. And I found out, hey, the body's a circuit board. And I've worked with circuit boards. I built a Heathkit radio when I was 7 from parts and
Hold on. What is a Heathkit radio?
Well, it used to be when I was a child, you'd order one and they'd send it to you in a box, all the pieces and with instructions and blueprints how to put it together.
Cool.
So you had a box of parts and a manual and you built it. So that led me in as an undergraduate to be curious about this phenomenon of why can't we just, as we approach an circuit board, why can't we just change some of the electrochemical functions using an electrical signal? So I then went fiercely at going at this direction. And I went my schooling and my education went from there to there to there, following this path. And I later, in the end, I got my doctorate in neurophysiology, which includes as a definition, the treatment of injuries using electrochemical processes and theories. And then I also was accredited by the IEEE as a biomedical engineer. So I had the degrees and the experience and the training in biomedical engineering and in medicine and physiology. So I put them together as a package and said, this is how I'm going to do it. And so I pretty much invented and co-invented a whole theory of practice after that.
So what was the first invention you created that does this kind of work?
The first one was very quickly out of graduate school. My work was known. I was kind of a rumor, if you will, in the scientific world at that point. And I got a call from somebody at Medtronic, probably the world's largest medical device company. They're in Minnesota and in Minneapolis. And they called me and said, we're putting together a team to build a small electrical box the size of a pack of cigarettes that you can put two electrodes on an injury point, a pain point, and then turn it on and stop the pain signal from traveling to the brain where it registers as a pain signal. And so we'd like you to work on that. So they hired me and three others to do that. And we did. We produced it, and it became known as a TENS unit, transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulator. And it was the first one commercially sold in the United States for $680 a piece. I believe the last I checked, they sold 180 million of them.
And for people who might not be aware of TENS units, I think a lot of folks use it for back pain primarily.
That's right, primarily. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that was the first one, right, to create something that does spectacular in terms of helping folks. That's fabulous. So your cures almost sound miraculous. What's actually going on in the body when this stuff takes place?
I have to say that after co-inventing the TENS unit, I said, there's got to be a better way to this as opposed to just blocking a pain signal in the nervous system. Why can't we fix what's wrong with the body? Why can't we put a signal in to fix it as opposed to block it? So I started work on that, and I worked with several scientists, mentors, and we developed equipment since then. And it was based on the premise that we were going to put a signal into the body to do the following things. One, each cell contains a battery, and it's called the mitochondria. The battery is the energy system of the cell, which generates all of the energy for its function. As a result, then, we have ion transfer, positive and negative charges between the cells. And in an injury, they're very slow or non-existent. We speed them up then. And in doing so, then we have a lot of cells working properly, and that increases the blood flow, which heals the injury. And then we produce a feedback loop to the sodium-potassium pump in the body, which is a physiological inner piece. And that then produces potassium, which is the binding substance of the tissue, which produces an injury repair. That's like the cement of the injury or the tissue of the body. And in doing this, we do it over and over and over. It's a positive feedback loop we put into it, and it just keeps doing it, keeps doing it, keeps doing it. So the treatment starts that process, and then that process lasts for a certain amount of time, a day or so. Then we treat them again, push it again, treat a day or so later, do it again, push it again, and finally, in the end, it's working so well on its own that the body repairs itself. So basically, we are stimulating the physiological and biochemical basis of the body to carry out a program that we put in and do the work.
So before we
continue and we cement this in further for our listeners, I'd like to remind you you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Peter Lathrop, and talking about this whole notion of electromedicine in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Dr. Peter Lathrop. He's a clinical neurophysiologist, and he really focuses on helping people heal from pain, soft tissue injuries, musculoskeletal injuries very quickly to get pain relief and to accelerate the healing process. He's got a PhD in neurophysiology from University of Brussels and 2 postdoc degrees in biochemistry and biology from University of Munich. He has spent over 25 years in clinical practice in San Diego, and he specializes in the use of, as we've been talking about, this microcurrent bioelectric signaling. And he's patented devices. As he just told us, he was one of the co-creators of the TENS unit that stops back pain signals from being sent. And he's now CEO and founder of VitaFlow. It's a company that looks at biomedical research and product development for focusing in on pain and rejuvenation and regeneration and repair. So you have, in terms of your company, you use the word rejuvenation. Can you explain how your can you explain how the electromedicine is focusing in on rejuvenation?
Rejuvenation, I guess you could say, is an example would be, let's say you're a 40-year-old male and you played athletics in college and you got hit in the knee and it never really healed. And then you come to be 40 years old and you would like to have a more active life, play tennis, play golf, walk around and run even, and yet your knee bothers you all the time. So you feel like an old man. Now, what I do with a lot of these people is they come to me with this story and they pretty much present me with chronic cases of 10, 20, 30 years old. And it could be their back or their knee or their shoulder. I can't throw a ball because my shoulder hurts when I do it. I've got arthritis, too, or something. I treat a lot of arthritic patients. So my point about rejuvenation is I can repair the chronic injury, stop the pain, and make them feel like they're healthy again, and therefore feeling rejuvenated and back in their prime.
Now, I've got a question for you, because as you know, the placebo effect is very powerful. And for listeners of this show, they realize that we really talked about at times the placebo. Now, there are MRI studies showing that it's a very real impact that happens. And there was that research that was done, I think, out of Texas, where they did fake arthroscopic surgery on people's knees, and they just put a couple of cuts in, but they went through as if the whole surgery was happening. And the people they just put little cuts in but didn't do anything internally recovered. How much are you aware of how much the placebo effect is playing into what you're doing with folks, and how much of it is just the actual electrical signals to the mitochondria as you're talking about?
Jerry, that's a great question. You know what? I'm not going to come back at you with a defensive mode on that. I'm going to say the placebo effect, which is a 35% effect on the total treatment by a doctor. That is the perceived psychological basis of the healing process. It's 35%. It's pretty much a standard in the industry. And I'm going to say to you that the placebo effect is not a bad thing. What it is the brain secretes biochemicals and energy systems, nerve transmissions to the injured area all by itself if it thinks that there's something that can be done there. The body wants to heal itself and return to stasis. And the placebo effect is a good thing because it does have a significant input into it. I was taught this in medical school by a pretty famous teacher in that subject. So I learned it very well. And it is used a lot in medicine as a part of it. I just want you to know that the treatment is pretty dramatic on my part when I treat a patient. And I'm not going to discount the fact that I talk to them and I say, we are a team. We're going to do this together. You work with me, thereby employing the placebo effect in it. So I will give up, yes, 35% of my work to an attitude, which causes the brain to do its share of the work as well.
And because of the results that you're getting, because they're so fast for people who had very long-term injuries and gone through lots and lots of other treatment, I think actually probably reduces the placebo effect down for those folks and ups your treatment level because they've heard it before. This is going to cure you and it doesn't do diddly.
Well, I get that from most of my patients, my chronic patients. You're absolutely right about that. The tougher ones, and I had a woman today in my office who said, I've been to everybody. I've come to you because you're highly spoken of and whatever the rest was. And you were referred to me by somebody I trust and this and that. But I've been to all of them before and they haven't done a thing for me. Well, she came into my office with this attitude and I had to straighten her out pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I straightened her out pretty fast, I think, so that she was able to get on with the treatment because she was intimating, I don't know if I should do this and whatever. So she finally did. And basically it was a chronic case of chronic lateral epicondylitis, which is called tennis elbow. And I said, where are people treating you? And she said, well, the chiropractor adjusted my elbow and the acupuncturist treated my elbow. And yeah, that's where it is, isn't it? And she said, yeah, and they haven't been successful. I said, well, did they ever stop to think that it might be in your cervical spine at C3-4-5 as well, and in the rotator cuff of your shoulder? And so I examined her. I tested her with my equipment, found out, sure enough, the core of the problem was in her C5-6 cervical area in her neck. So I treated that. I treated her arm. I treated her elbow. She got up and I said, wave your arm around. How does it feel now? Well, if I lift my heavy purse, I can really tell. She lifted her purse and she said, my God, the pain is gone. You know, so she said, I guess I'm coming back. So I will say in that case, that was 2 hours ago. There was no placebo effect there. Trust me, there was none.
It was actually what they call it, nocebo effect, which is the negative side of placebo. Now, I got a question for you. How can you tell, what kind of equipment do you use to tell that it was like, what, C4 or 3 or whatever you said in rotator cuff? How do you determine that? Are you using the electrical medicine to determine that also?
Yes, I am. In fact, I have it built into my equipment. I have equipment varying in size from the size of a TV remote control to the size of a toaster oven. And all of the equipment that I've developed and use, co-developed and used, I want to make it clear that I have friends and colleagues that do this too.
Okay.
and we do work together. Actually, we all know each other. So,
it helps if you're a colleague, if you know them.
We do. We live all over the world. We live from Russia to America to California and the East Coast, and we all know each other. So the thing is, and then we compete with each other in the patent office, as a matter of fact, because every time I file a patent or my colleagues do, they all get rebuttals or whatever it's called from the patent office saying, well, you think you invented this, but Dr. Lathrop did this part, and he did it first, and then I do something, and then they bring up somebody else's name. So we're always constantly in this big shuffle in the patent office together. We're competing, but we're friends, and it's okay. The equipment reads the tissue. It reads the galvanic skin response, the blood flow, the charge on the cells, the inflammation, therefore, and the gathering of biochemicals around the tissue. This is all measured in electrical readings that are picked up by the equipment, and they're all translated from the physiological data to mathematics and then to electrical input. So we can read them the same way we treat. So we the equipment reads and then treats, and it's a feedback loop back and forth until it's corrected.
Is this equipment available where somebody could purchase it, or a doctor can purchase it? And is there a list of doctors then that you can find who have the equipment?
Yeah, there is. You know what? You could Google my name, for one thing, then you get all my friends and colleagues and competitors, or you could Google microcurrent therapy, or you could Google pain treatment, electrotherapy. If you Google it, you know, you could get all of that, or you could go to LinkedIn, which I'm on, and I would suggest that people go to LinkedIn and or my website, and you can see testimonial, video testimonials. You can see references. I have a whole lot of references on my website for people to go to check it out. But the answer to can I buy it?
Dr. Peter, what's your website?
www.sandiegopaintreatment.com.
Okay, sandiegopaintreatment.com. Okay, and you're going to say now about being able to buy it for the public?
Yeah, people can buy this equipment. Some of it is, rarely available, and some of it is. So one of the things that I like very much is a device called a scanner, and I can get it for people in Russia because it's made in Russia and I'm working with them, and I can get it. One of the devices I use primarily for them if they want to contact me.
The best way is through your website, right?
The best way is to go to my website, send me an email and say, I'm interested, call me or write me back or whatever. I mean, I don't do this for a living as such, but if somebody, the thing I find is that I have people that are referred to me and they live in other cities. For example, I recently had one in Alabama, and he had a wife with spina bifida, and she had a lot of pain all her life. And so he said, well, I can't come and see you, and it's just too far. And so what he did is I arranged for him to buy one. And he used it on his wife, and within 3 weeks, she was fine. And she still is today. And you know her, Jerry. Or you know him. You know Rolf Gedhardt.
Yes, I do.
And that's his wife we're talking to. So.
Great. So, Peter, I'd like to, Dr. Peter Lathrop, I'd like to thank you for having been a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
I want to talk about my guest for next week. And let me approach it this way. You go out, it's a sunny day, you put sunglasses on. You come inside, you're at work for 8 hours a day, and you got no sunshine. Well, it turns out sunshine is extremely important for us. And in effect, when we're indoors, you may have light, but you are not getting the equivalent effect of sunlight and the importance of that for you. We're going to be looking at all this with my guest, Linnea Hahn. She's an internationally recognized expert on light. She's been a frequent guest on radio and television shows, including Oprah. And she's been featured in articles written around the world. And she's currently director of research and a consultant to Sunlight Sciences, which manufactures something called Indoor Sunshine Full Spectrum Plus Lighting. We're going to be talking about the effects of light on people, plants, animals, This is going to be a fascinating show. You're not going to want to miss it. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.